your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
This morning, welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It's Wednesday, 27th of August, 2025, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. That was some sweet music just now. Made me feel like Byron Lee and the Dragonairs days. I don't like it, though. I don't like it when I'm forced back to a pre-1992 Bahamas. That's when Byron Lee and the Dragonairs, them was killing it. They was mashing it up. Every Christmas, that was the place to be. But for some people, this pre-1992 world is not what we're looking for. I just saw a headline this morning that said that Cat Island load shedding, I think, is coming to an end. And I thought, well, nobody told us there was load shedding in Cat Island, did they? I thought they would have, considering the plethora of power generation issues plaguing the archipelago. I am looking right now at somebody does a wonderful summation of the morning headlines. And I just want to say to them, thank you very much for doing that. I know you do it primarily for people who are in the diaspora and don't touch newspapers every day. And by a diaspora, we also include the Fuller Archipelago, the Family Islands, whose access to local newspapers is not as smooth as us on the capital. Pre-1992, I don't know. And it's what makes it more stark, right, is when you juxtapose the state of being, like what's actually happening, with the energy and furor with which the new era in energy reform was announced. Like, things just aren't lining up. But I got a full show today. Let me tell you what I would like to do. I want to touch on some of the headlines. I think it's worth, I don't want to say necessary, but I think it's worth just, we're going to spend about 10 minutes looking at the headlines. And then I have a question for the audience this morning. I want to talk about career politicians and term limits. I have a whole bunch of questions on the table, like, how would you define a career politician? Are career politicians helpful or harmful to democracy and good governance in the Bahamas? Do we need term limits? What type of limit would you implement? Would you have consecutive and non-consecutive terms? Unlimited, right? You're allowed unlimited terms. The duration of the term, you want to change the duration of the term or the number of terms that an individual can serve. Can we set term limits for the office of the Prime Minister given Article 73(1)(a) of the Constitution? Should we set term limits for MPs, Governor General, Cabinet Ministers, Senators? And is it possible If it's possible to set term limits for political parties, should we set term limits for political parties? Would you submit to a benevolent dictator? Would you submit to an oppressive dictator if they produced economic success and all of the basic necessities? Do you want to become a republic, or do you just want to vote for prime minister? Do you want a federal system led by a president with island countries governed by their own PM? Do you want a mechanism to remove a sitting MP or PM? Should we put term limits or restrictions on political parties? Can local government disrupt the power structures often created by career politicians? Can we prevent supermajorities? And would you support any island or group of islands becoming an independent country? Over the last 2 days, I saw a number of articles about term limits from the European Union straight down to our cousins in El Salvador in the Latin America and Caribbean region. Even Jamaica, right next door to us in Jamaica, a number of issues are arising that are causing citizens to ask the question, do we need term limits in governance? That's a conversation I want to have this morning. I got some headlines, though. BEMU continues to strike. McPhee refutes ministry's statement. Government reports a $29.4 million surplus for May. And Davis gives no comment on Watson's nomination. Police denied mom viewing burned son's body at scene. There's somebody on the phone line right now. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Hey, morning, Ms. Green. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Hey, wait a minute. Okay, I'd like to chime in on the topic, right? I don't think that we should have term limits, right?
Mm-hmm.
Based on the fact on this, right?
Mm-hmm.
First of all, how we vote, we won't allow you to be in power for more than 3 terms anyway. Because as soon as you piss us off, we vote you out. The second thing is, right,
mm-hmm.
suppose for some strange reason, right, the individual in power is actually doing a good job. Should you vote them out based on the fact because they're restricted to term limits? Say, for instance, right, we happen to have a person who comes in to run the country.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing a fantastic job,
mm-hmm.
right? But now they're set back because of term limits. I don't think that's fair.
Okay, so here's the question, though. If they're doing a good job, which means that they have created effective, sustainable policy, right, to
right.
implement their agenda that they're successful at. If they've done a good job, then surely a part of the good job is entrenching the good policy in governance, right? That if you, I think a signal is if you've done a good job, you could leave the government in anybody's hands and they would be unable to fail because you have done such a good job.
Technically, no. Because guess what? You mm-hmm. could do a good job, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the person who comes back to you, right, comes after you, jack up everything you did based on the fact that because it's your policy, so for instance, right, PLP and FNM.
Mm-hmm.
Say, for instance, the PLP is in power. They did a marvelous job,
mm-hmm.
right? Now we set 2 term limits.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're past the 2 term limits. Now they no longer, the person could no longer be PM. So you have to hand over the power based on the fact of term limits. But now the FNM comes in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it changed everything the PLP did based on the fact because it's PLP policies.
I hear you, but there are countries who have figured out how mechanisms to prevent that, right? Like a national development plan. And the way that they entrench the national development plan into governance, right, prevents a new administration from coming in and just, stop, review, cancel.
Right.
There's a broader process, right? In fact, I would say a successful governance would leave you with a more enhanced stop, review, cancel process that prevents a new administration for canceling something, just because they don't like it, or in opposition, they spoke against it. You know, they raise particular issues. There's some things that should be entrenched and that we commit across administrations, across successive governments, that we're going to continue on that path. But I appreciate the points you're making. They're real. I'm just saying that there are also mechanisms we could use to mitigate those.
Point taken. Iron sharpens iron.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thank you very much. Let's go to the next caller quickly, because I have an example. In fact, I have an example to follow up on that call. Caller, I'm coming to you right now. Give me a second. I just want to put this on the table. I want to read from this article, Jamaica Democratic Erosion, Why Peter Espiot's Warning About JLP's Third Term Should Alarm Every Jamaican. This is from YJA, but I'm going to go to that caller. Good morning, caller.
Morning, Aaron. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing great. And I would also like to opine to what the previous caller was saying.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I appreciate also what he has said, his contribution is, it sounds very sound.
Mm-hmm.
The flip side to that as well is we have to understand that policies is the driving force of any government
mm-hmm.
that's empowered, not a individual or a group of individuals. If you put down the proper policies that is geared towards nation building,
mm-hmm.
regardless of who comes in and the policies are in play, then there's no way a person can just come and just change a policy or a group of policies that is for the benefit of the country.
Yeah.
And this is why the electoral side comes into it in terms of election, that if this person decides to tamper with it and the stuff goes awry, then we as a people have a right to remove them. But our way of thinking is, you know, because a political party introduced something that is working, that they should remain in power for an inordinate or indefinite period of time. That is ludicrous. We have to look at the people who have contributed to making these policies work. And also the succession plan, which is something that we in this country seem as if we don't really appreciate, because an effective leader would also create a successor, if I could use that term, or a group of successors that would carry on the work, especially if they are policies, they came up with policies that is effectively moving the country forward and benefiting the people. You know, China is a classic example. You know, they have a succession plan, a national plan for the next 50, 60 years.
Yes.
And we need to now begin to follow that model. The golden nuggets, in closing, the golden nuggets that's beneficial for this country, if you're really about God, country, and our people, you will work on those nuggets to continue to bring prosperity to the hands of the Bahamian people.
Yes,
but
sir.
So far, right now, today, that is not widespread in this country, and we need effective, not bosses, but effective leaders, effective visionaries that's going to move our country forward so our people can prosper and benefit for the next generation to come.
Thanks
for taking my call.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. And go one more caller, and then I want to just touch those headlines, because I've got three stories, the U.S., El Salvador, Jamaica. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, Aaron, you know, it goes just to that caller and to Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
And Aaron, you're a smart woman. It goes right back to what you say. It isn't the policy. It's the national development plan. That is key.
Mm-hmm.
Very key. If you need a plan to build a wall, don't you think we should have a plan to build a country?
Absolutely.
But we don't. And Aaron, this thing let's touch on a bit, but Prime Minister and this plagiarizing of
the plan?
I wouldn't even call it a plan, because, you know, we could bet anybody any amount of money and we wouldn't be able to find the plan. You know? Now, the plan, when you go back from the year 2011, he said they introduced this plan.
Yeah.
This thing becomes very scary, you know, because when you look at the crime statistics on all crimes recorded in the Bahamas, crime against the person, burglary, rape, murders, we are setting records
mm-hmm.
in an adverse way. And the plan really should be, Aaron, trying to make the Bahamas the safest place on planet Earth. Imagine we had a government looking at it from this perspective. We're a tourist nation. We're a tourist destination. You know the amount of tourists we'll have coming to the store? Mm-hmm. If we were to be advertised as the safest place on planet Earth.
Right, because if tourists know that, look here, a Bahamian could sleep in the street and wake up safe and unmolested, then they would have a totally different experience in the country.
Exactly. Now you know something very quickly, Aaron. I regret not being around during the Bay Street Boys reign.
Mm-hmm.
I got a tip of it in the 70s and in the 80s, the early 80s,
mm-hmm.
where you could have walked from Yonge Street to Port of Ski Door any hour of the night without having to die. The day you can't even walk around the block without
it's
a stray bullet.
It's not quite that rough, but hold on. But I want to say I appreciate what you're saying, because it's not just crime. It's the fear of crime that also, right, impacts us and affects how we navigate the spaces that we're in.
Definitely. But then also, I'm sure your mother or your aunt may have told you, Aaron, that they could have quit a job this morning and find another one this evening. We never had no overcrowding at TMH. We never had no shortage of classroom spaces.
But
and then you look, I'll leave with this.
Mm-hmm.
Then you compare the white minority leaders and what they did with the country. No one, our black government, gave away more crown land and gave out more citizenship in 52 years than our colonial masters did in 300 years. That's fine. So there'll be nothing to brag about. We wanted majority rule, but look at where we are. I heard Lady Penland said it yesterday, you know. She said it in the graveyard. She stated that Sir Lyndon wouldn't, if he were to come back, he wouldn't notice Bahamas. She mm-hmm. said it.
Thank you, Cleaver.
So we're a different country.
I hear you.
For all the wrong reasons.
I can tell you why. I can tell you what the reason is, because we're going to continue to pretend like the drug era never happened. This would be, we've decided that we're just going to ignore it. But not just in our hearts and not just in our communities, but in the policy as well. In policy as well. Oh, boy. Okay. We'll take another caller. The line is lit up. I got to tell you all about these articles. Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Ms. Queen. A lot of us are very foolish in our thinking, okay? You asked some questions at the beginning of the show. I really wouldn't see the need for have any island become autonomous, given the fact that we can't even conceive local governance, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, division, more divisions and man-made decisions is what is really destroying us. So, firstly, I can make a little joke with you first. I want to make this quick. About 2 weeks ago, I had called. It would only get to be you, CNUE, Dwight, but I think it might have been Lang. But a friend of mine, he was in Cat Island, and so he told me that they was having 4-hour sporadic
outages,
load shedding. I said this about 2 weeks ago, but this I'm saying is, so it was the gospel according to me, but if I'm transferring a message that is firsthand, it should be true. So I was surprised to see all this hoo-hoo-hoo-ray-rah about the load shedding. Everybody mentioned it on the air, but 2 weeks ago, this is why we must listen to one another. Now, secondly, I'm disappointed in the fact that, but you posed the question, right? You know, I've read Keisha Ellis, Layman's,
Constitution
Review, right? And I remember quite vividly that there is a certain amount and a number of cabinet ministers that is allowed under the Constitution, but yet still the government abuses this, and they do a lot of things that they abuse. Like I said, to the imbeciles, right?
Okay. 52, I appreciate what you're saying. We're not going to get anywhere by calling people imbeciles. I mean, this morning on the road, I may have called 7 people imbeciles within the confines of my car, talking to myself, but we're not going to get anywhere calling people imbeciles. It's just ineffective, right? Also, just a quick note before I go to the next caller. What happened on the Northeastern Corridor this morning? I mean, traffic was back up. Traffic had to have been back up past Fox Hill Road. What happened on the Northeastern Corridor this morning? And why wouldn't the Royal Bahamas Police Force feel the need to, like, maybe, right, like, send officers down to indicate to people what's going on, indicate to people to divert and turn off alternate routes? What happened, man? Also, just another reminder. There's a stop sign at the southern end of Peck Slope. where it intersects with East Street. There's a big, bold stop sign right there, right? And every day, I imagine that 95% of the drivers just run straight through that stop sign. Stopping for 1 second, you didn't actually stop, you just rode, right? That's not stopping. And let me tell you all why this is a big deal, since nobody seems to care. Government House is less than 100 yards away, less than a half a football field away even. Government House is right there. The eastern entrance to Government House is right there, and it's open again. And nobody seems to care. It's almost as if we did not experience as a nation the most tragic experience where an officer on duty at the Government House was killed. And I want you all to know, it's fancy people who use Peck Slope, you know. You know how I know? Because a fancy person who stops at stop signs told me about the Peck Slope run to cut through town. It's fancy people who use that run, and it's fancy people who continue to ignore traffic controls, too. I just wanted to make that point quickly. Okay, caller, I'm not going to begrudge you. Good morning.
Good morning, Aaron Green. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How you do?
Fine. What do you call it? Call it the word masters?
Yeah. They use the term masters, yeah.
Wow. And you're proud of that. I'm proud of majority rule that free us to govern ourselves. It may not be perfect, but it made us number one in the Caribbean.
That's not what made us number one. Majority rule didn't make us number one in the Caribbean.
Well, that's the past side of it.
Who told you that?
Sir Lyndon's journey.
Sir Lyndon's journey told you that?
I don't know. That's the start of Sir Lyndon's and our governance journey to independence beyond.
It started well before that.
Even
acknowledging that we are commemorating the 25th anniversary of the death of the former Prime Minister Sir Lyndon Pindling, right? I know we're in that spirit, right? But uh-huh. We do the man a disservice, right? By shaping history to fit a particular narrative. That journey started well before that. We got to pick up a copy of Milton Taylor's book. I can be honest with you, I don't have a copy, you know, to say I pick it up.
Let me just
make the point and say the thing that was in the book, right? Mm-hmm. Where he remarked during his time in Acklands as a teacher of the racial... the racial disparity and the tension that existed, even if it was only simmering, right? Even if it was quiet, he understood, right? Like what was boiling or what existed under the surface. And the journey started long before Pindling. Are we grateful that Pindling was able to pick up the mantle? We definitely are, right? But the critique that was offered by the caller is that we also do Pindling and those who led the way for Pindling a disservice by insisting, like, see, when we call Pindling the father of the nation, it's like we abdicate our responsibility as guardians as well. Well, he's the daddy, not me, right? And so, yeah.
This would be a wonderful debate for UB. I would like to be on a panel discussion.
Okay, you know
what?
A
wonderful debate.
Tell the PLP to...
And I'd like you to be on that parliament.
Okay, never mind then. We can't tell the PLP anything. Because then it ain't going to happen. I ain't going to be there. If it need me, it ain't going to... Anyway, thank you very much, Pumpkin Eater.
But it's good, though. It's good. It's a good argument. It's good how people are thinking. But at the end of the day, you must appreciate our country and where God has brought us from.
Absolutely.
And you're doing a good job. Thank you for bringing up this topic.
Thank you.
It's a food for the thought. I like thinking like that.
Thank you much.
It's a negative and positive. Have a good day.
You too as well. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. I want to get back into the articles, but here's some text. I want to know if it's legal for government to continue after their five-year term using the logic that the previous government called an early election. Does the 5 years not start from the date of election, because the extension does not seem to be a valid way forward? No, I don't think that would be a way to extend time in government. In fact, okay, so I found a list of political terms by country on Wikipedia. You could look it up yourself. For the Bahamas, the governor general Governor General, no set terms, appointed by the monarch on the advice of the Prime Minister. Prime Minister, no directly set terms. However, they must maintain the support of the House of Assembly, which has a term of 5 years. So that means that a person could be Prime Minister indefinitely, right, if they could secure the confidence of the House of Assembly, if they could remain, okay, it says support of the House of Assembly, right? So the confidence of the House of Assembly. But when you actually get into Article 73 of the Constitution, which is Chapter 4, that's the executive, 73 is the appointment of ministers. Here we go, 73.1. Whenever there shall be occasion for the appointment of a prime minister, the governor general shall appoint as prime minister A, the member of the House of Assembly, who is the leader of the party which commands the support of the majority of the members of that house. It doesn't say the member who commands the support of the majority of the members of that house. It says the member who is the leader of the party which commands the support of the majority of the members of that house. Right? And so the party, only the party has to maintain control of the House of Assembly, right, over that five-year term. All right, caller, good morning.
Ms. Green, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good. 3 points.
Mm-hmm.
One, quickly.
Mm-hmm.
If I got to use the Lakers, if the Lakers go with their starting five,
mm-hmm.
they win two championships.
Mm-hmm.
Move two of their starting five. Move, win two more championships. That's four in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Can the NBA tell them now, listen, y'all only could win one more. Y'all can't win no more?
I could be honest with you, that's the wrong example because it turns out it is possible that the NBA could tell them that. That's still up for question. There are many, many people who are questioning, I don't want to say the integrity, but the structure of the NBA.
I only use that as an example.
Okay, good.
What I want to say.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
But I appreciate the point you're making.
The PLP have actually won for 50 years, you know. They won 25 straight.
Mm-hmm.
Under
Pinlin.
Under Sir Lyndon.
Mm-hmm.
Under Mr. Ingram, they win two.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Ingram is a protege of Sir Lyndon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They came out with Mr. Christie and Vin, a protege of Sir Lyndon.
Mm-hmm. That's 30 years for PLP.
That's a 30. Came back with Mr. Ingram. Won again.
Mm-hmm.
A protege of Mr. Pinlin.
I see what you're saying.
Came back with Pinlin. Came back with Christie again. Vin as a protege of Sir Lyndon. Under Sir Lyndon's leadership and what he taught them. So Lyndon Pinlin actually ran this country for 50 years. But you know, in closing, you know what I want to say?
Mm-hmm.
They need to do two terms for politicians, people who want to be politicians who run. If you run an election two times and get beat back to back, I don't think they should allow you to run no more.
What about a break? What about take a break for a term and then maybe come back? Give you 5 years to build your capacity.
Okay, maybe they make a slip away with that. But if you run in the 1992 election, get beat in St. Anne's.
Mm-hmm.
Come back in the 1997 election, get beat in South Beach. They shouldn't let you run no more.
I hear you.
Let you run no more. Two strikes in you. You can't get them three strikes. Two strikes in you.
Now, you know, the party say that's their business. The party says that's their business and not our business, right?
We have to stop this thing about party business and why you getting an opposition business and all of that. Whoever wins, I'm a bohemian. I still got to deal with that.
Absolutely. And I thank you very much, caller. And I want to offer that if the Constitution, Chapter 4, Article 73, 1A, right, says, whenever there shall be occasion for the appointment of a prime minister, the governor general shall appoint as prime minister A, the member of the House of Assembly who is the leader of the party which commands the support of the majority of the members of that house. I think because of that article and the words, who is the leader of the party which commands the support, that means that, yes, your business is our business. Absolutely. And I'm going to offer, before I get to this, I can go back to the article I want to offer, that we should demand I can call it a constitutional reckoning, right? Which is either amend 73-1A and remove who is the leader of the party and replace it with who commands the support of the majority of the members of the party, right? Either you amend that provision in the Constitution or you create a law that requires political parties, right, to have to, I don't want to say expose, but to present to the public, to publish to the public particular dynamics of the operation of the party. Because that article is clear. 73-1A, I mean, is it pellucidly clear? I'm not sure. However, I think to constitutional scholars, that article and provision is clear. Okay, I got to get these articles into the record. Jamaica, why Peter Espert's warning about JLP's third term should alarm every Jamaican. This is from Wired JA, 23rd of August. When sociologist Peter Espert penned his blistering analysis in Thursday's Gleaner, he delivered more than political commentary. He issued a Democratic emergency alert. His premise was deceptively simple. The Jamaican Labour Party hasn't released their 2025 manifesto because, quote, their record over the last decade clearly indicates the direction they are going, close quotes. What Espiot then laid bare was a chilling inventory of democratic erosion that should make every Jamaican reach for their constitution and demand answers. 10 days after announcing the September 3rd election date, the JLP still had no manifesto, a silence that Espiot interpreted not as oversight but as arrogance. They believe their actions speak loudly enough. Unfortunately for Jamaican democracy, he's right. The concentration of power, a constitutional coup in sight. Espiot's most alarming revelation centers on the JLP's proposed constitutional changes that would fundamentally alter Jamaica's balance of power. Under the Constitution Amendment Republic Act 2024, quote, the Prime Minister ultimately shall determine who shall become the President of Jamaica without needing to consult anyone, close quotes. This isn't merely about ceremonial roles, it's about mathematical control of democratic institutions. Here's the arithmetic of authoritarianism. And essentially, what he goes on to say is the way that the legislation is constructed, the Prime Minister determines who shall become the president without needing to consult anyone, which would leave, essentially, it would leave the government with a supermajority, right? And so the opposition would be reduced to theatrical irrelevance. Their 9 votes forever insufficient to block constitutional changes. Democracy requires more than elections. It demands meaningful opposition participation. And so the article highlights a not a hypothetical, but a real situation where a party with a supermajority that remains unopposed may be able to change fundamentally the function and operation of governance and subsequently politics in Jamaica. But the phone line is flashing. I got to get back to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Hello.
Hi, good morning.
How are you?
Good, thank you.
Okay. I know you continually, periodically, refer to the drug hero. Which drug hero are you talking about in the Bahamas?
Which one are you talking about?
Yeah, there were several.
Tell me about them. I only know one.
No, I'm asking you, which hero are you talking about?
No, well, you lay out the ones that you are not sure, right? Because if there's more than one...
I don't know. I want to comment.
So you're not sure... You're not sure if there's more than one drug hero then?
No. There was more than one.
So tell me what they are, because I only know one.
I'm asking you to define.
No, you tell me. I know of one drug era.
Of the 80s in this country.
That's the one you know of, the one in the 80s, right?
I said that wasn't only. That wasn't only.
So tell me what the other ones are. Tell me what the other one is.
Running through the Bahamas.
Anton, producer, you have a mute button? Hit the mute button, please. Anton, I don't know nothing about drugs. Okay? I referenced the drug era. You told me you want to know which drug era I'm talking about. I tell you, I didn't know there was more than one. Please, enlighten me. How many drug eras do we have?
Can you hear me, Aaron?
I can now. I guess my mute button stopped working. I can hear you now. One.
There was the drug era of the 1920s and 30s in the Bahamas, which was prominent.
Hold on, you mean rum running?
Absolutely.
You mean prohibition, rum running, okay.
Absolutely. As you know, that's also a drug.
Yeah. Okay.
It is. It is.
I'm not talking about that drug era. Okay, good. Good. I'm not talking about that drug era.
One other point.
Yeah.
As it relates to what you were talking about, a former opposition leader during the 2012 to 17 term, he didn't form a party when she took the opposition over from the...
She did. It was the Starfish Party. She had a symbol and everything. I mean, she had a symbol and everything. She didn't She didn't form a party. She took over the FNM. She took over leadership of the FNM.
She took over the opposition.
She took over the opposition in the House, yes. Good stuff, good stuff.
And the leader was still
the leader of the party.
Who was duly elected, yes. Who was duly elected.
We don't, I mean, when you say duly elected, until we get to look at your constitutions, we can't say they're duly elected.
Well, I believe that the two prominent parties in this country are proper, maybe not the most efficient, but proper and efficient constitutions. And so I trust at least that much.
Have you read have you read the FNM Constitution?
Absolutely not. I haven't.
Okay, so how you know? Thank you. How you know? How you know? Well, I just want to know. You know what? Let's put all of that aside. If anybody knows how I could get one of those jobs, call me on the radio right now. I would like that job so much. I couldn't have it for long because Corinne Mitchell and Una Hastie would plague me in my sleep. They would haunt me for days. And they'd say, I get permission from Jesus to come and haunt you for doing foolishness. Whew. Okay, the light is red. Let's go to the caller. I still want to tell you all about these other issues arising in our region and how they relate to the Bahamas, but good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green. Can I finish what I wanted to state?
Okay, but okay.
Can I finish, please?
But hold on. But hold on, 52. You could finish, right? But let us refrain from calling people imbeciles.
Yeah, but I mean, certain people...
I know, but 52. If I have to practice restraint every day on the radio, then you have to practice restraint every day on the radio, too. And I'm not fussing you, because you are a man who has shown that you know how to govern yourself and you know how to do what you ought to do and you know how you ought to do it. That's not what this is about. I'm not questioning that, 52. He's a big man. That ain't what I'm saying. What I'm saying, though, is we can't call them imbeciles right now. And if I have to moderate and restrain myself, then I want my callers to also model that behavior for other callers and listeners. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. Yes, I agree with you 100%. I sometimes make the same mistake, so thank you so much for correcting me, too.
Yes, and I have to correct myself.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you get, you know how it is. You won't say so much one time, and
The words just
really
fall out.
What you should say. But listen up. I am wondering if we would benefit. Now, we know this is a tourist destination. We rely on tourism. And there seems to be a shift from these stopover visitors or those hoteliers, because right now I hear Mr. Sands talking about, 70% is really where we are. That's not where we should be right now.
Mm-hmm.
But crime seems to be affecting our tourism, I believe. I think most tourists feel safe getting on a cruise ship than coming on land and having to navigate through this place, because as clearly see, we have a lot of crime. Would we benefit if we had a crime minister?
A crime czar? We have a crime minister.
What?
We have one.
We have a crime No, I know we elected too.
We have national minister, national security.
Yeah, but see, he is a crime minister. I mean, a minister who would be responsible for eradicating crime. Not
no, that's his job.
No, his job is to preserve. So when he leaves, he'll have a job. That's his job.
I'm
talking about someone who's not going to be trying to balance the criminal with the citizenry, because I know when I leave, I can need them criminals for a salary. So I know we have crime ministers, and maybe we should never elect crime ministers again.
I know. Stick a pin. That's a very strong statement, and we understand that it was satire. And it was used as a mechanism used to push a point forward. But we are not saying that all criminal lawyers are just perpetuating more business for themselves.
I want other people
to understand that's not what you're doing either.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
What I'm saying, it appears as though because we have elected lawyers who have been in the criminal business, they are probably unable to enforce the law as they would if they were not representing these criminals.
So listen, here's a question. Should we implement a special temporary measure, right? Special, it's temporary, and it's just a measure, not a law, not a policy, where we put a moratorium on criminal lawyers in the House of Assembly until we hit certain target numbers, statistics for crime.
You're so sweet. Have a nice day. You know, take the rest of the day off, Aaron.
Okay, sir.
I appreciate you.
I hope it's voluntary. Boy, Corinne Mitchell used to fire me every day and then tell me, make sure you show up to work on time tomorrow, please. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Miss Green.
Good morning.
How are you doing today?
I'm good, thank you.
Yes. Miss Green.
Yes.
You were quick to talk about decades-old drug era, right?
I reference it because I realize that it has slipped away from our collective consciousness.
Okay.
And then you could feel or see the gap when we're talking about certain issues, right? And this is why it's so important who we put in the Senate. Because I'm 49 and I may not have seen this when I was 29. I definitely wouldn't have seen it when I was 19. But at 49, when I look at policy, say policy around crime, policy around social services, I can see that there's a gap, there's a vacuum in all kinds of spaces, because what's absent is a recognition, acknowledgement of the impact, the consequences, the symptoms of the drug era as they exist today, you know? And that's partially why I reference the drug era in the way that I do, intending to have a broader, fuller conversation with stakeholders in the conversation. And at the center of those stakeholders are going to be the psychologists, the psychiatrists, and the doctors. Anyway, we got to go to a break. When we get back from the break, more texts. And we're going to talk a bit about El Salvador and the United States of America. You guys stay tuned. On the Clock with Aaron Green.
New school year, new gear. From uniforms to laptops, a Fidelity personal loan can help you check every item off of your kids' school list. Jump into back-to-school season with ease. Apply for a Fidelity personal loan today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Are you searching for something new? Something exciting? Your dream job in paradise? Well, look no further. Royal Beach Club Paradise Island is hiring. Join a dynamic group of passionate hospitality professionals, craft unforgettable moments, and thrive in a vibrant, welcoming atmosphere. Play your part in shaping the future of our team while growing your own career every day. Bring your energy, your passion, and your creativity to a workplace that's as dynamic and fun as you are. At Royal Beach Club Paradise Island, the opportunities don't just exist. They're limitless. So are you ready to find your perfect fit? Visit Royal Beach Club at paradiseisland.com/career today and step into a world of exciting possibilities.
Parents, do you believe your child deserves more than the ordinary? Are you still deciding which school is the best fit for your child? At Akapran International Academy, we believe every student deserves the opportunity to excel. Our dedicated teachers, caring staff, small class sizes, and diverse programs will ensure that your child receives the support, resources, and training needed for success. At Akapran, your child will surely find their passion, profession, and their purpose. We offer classes in GLAT, BJC, and BGCSE subjects. We empower students to excel, not just in school, but in life through our courses including aviation, STEM, robotics, cosmetology, technology, culinary, dance, sewing, and graphic design. Our students are climate justice advocates and geospatial cadets who have traveled to New York, Washington, NASA Space Center, and even Egypt to explore and participate in international tours and conferences. Enroll your child today and let them discover their strength, pursue their passions, and achieve their dreams. Call us today at 826-3589 or 324-9212. Don't settle for ordinary. Choose extraordinary. Choose a Akapran International Academy.
When it comes to hearts at Cleveland Clinic, you can't miss a beat. You seek the best care possible, work with the brightest minds, and leave no stone unturned to get to the heart of the matter. Because understanding is always the first step to overcoming. For every heart in the world, see how we're advancing the future of heart care at Cleveland Clinic today.
This is a story that my daddy told me about one of the many fishing trips that he used to take as a young man growing up on the island. And as we sat on a porch overlooking the sea, he took a puff on his pipe and he said to me, "Son, this is how it used to be. Imagine." The sun is rising on a
beautiful... Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. All right, text lines first. Good day. Is this the... Yes, it is a text line. A comment. It's interesting to hear callers talk about the government and neocolonialism, but not mention the other intersectional elements like xenophobia and misogyny. How do you think these factor in? I think they factor in. I just don't have enough time to delve into it right now, but it's on the list of questions for next time. Erin, don't laugh. I'm looking for 200 Bahamians to join me on an adventure to Haiti. I'm tired of being a slave and paying taxes. We're going to squat on some land, build some homes, and take over. All of that energy and you could be building your own country. That's what you're trying to say, right? Build your own country. You don't even have war. You don't even have to deal with 200 plus years of occupation, you know, essentially 200 plus, yeah. You don't have to deal with none of that. You don't have to deal with any of that. All you have to do is compel and encourage your peers, your, you know, fellow Bahamians to stop at stop signs and red lights, right? Like, it becomes the same way you like tired. It becomes tiresome of hearing Bahamians cry about crime in the Bahamas and then link it to Haitian migrants. And I say, but hold on. Like Bahamians every day in their cars, they're teaching their children how to be criminal by refusing to follow like the most basic laws. These laws don't even hurt you. Like they don't even hurt you. It doesn't hurt you to stop at a stop sign or a red light. It doesn't hurt you to not throw your car on the sidewalk. It doesn't hurt you to not just stop your car in the middle of the road because you're on your phone or you forgot where you were going, right? Before you crack jokes about going to Haiti, crack jokes about how Bahamians can't figure out how to stop at red lights and stop signs. That's what the rest of the world is laughing about. LOL, please, if Sir Lyndon came back, I think he'd say, quote, Joe Leader, Normansky, and the like lead to all of this, close quotes, question mark, question mark, question mark. See, okay, so when I say, I bet you Sam Bankman-Fried and Joe Leader had the same travel agent, then maybe you would understand the importance of us acknowledging that not only did the drug era happen, but we didn't actually do anything substantive to end it. Yeah? We haven't actually, right, like we're still attempting to eradicate it. And you remember what the authorities said about OPBAT in the fallout from the indictment? They said they, despite what is entrenched in provision, right, in their agreement, they don't let the senior Bahamian officials on the deck sometimes. Right? The PLP machine digging up. Text there says, Anton is very disingenuous. We all know what drug era we had after independence. Hi, Aaron. You will make a great attorney. You are absolutely... Thank you, Texter. I lack discipline in certain areas. It's also called for higher salary since... It's also called for higher salary since cabinet ministers make more money. Ms. Green, you can have a real discussion on the abuse of the Constitution as it relates to the amount of cabinet ministers allowed and the abuse and there and its consequences. But I feel you. Here's a text. Good day. NHIA has yet to pay its providers the outstanding funds for July, 60% outstanding, nor the outstanding for August, 100% outstanding, which was why I wanted to take a look at that article. It's in the business section. Today's Guardian, government reports a $29.4 million surplus for May, and there was, I saw another note that said that they, with a strong, something they believed that they could hit their surplus mark for the end of the year. Well, I don't know anything about the drug era, and I don't know anything about the IMF, but I know the IMF say somebody can't count. Oh, no, that was me. I said somebody can't count. That was me. I said it looks like somebody can't count. But what the IMF said was that we're uncertain as to how you are calculating your figures. That's what they said. They're uncertain. That's what they said. I think. I'm sure. They couldn't have said anything worse than that, hey? Because anything would be worse than that. Anyway, unfortunately, we didn't get to all of the headlines in today's paper. But before we go, I just have to say one more thing. I may get to this tomorrow, may not. Police denied mom viewing burned son's body at scene. If y'all don't stop playing with people's sensibilities, it is 2025. This is an archipelago. And you all refuse to do what you know you ought to do when you know you ought to do it. Can you please make sure that the family islands have the most basic of services while you all sit up here and pomp and pageantry in Savoy in London for golden independence celebrations? A little boy lost his life. And when you read the details of the story, it should become obvious to you that with the proper fire resources and an appropriate fire response, a life may not have been lost. Come on, man. Anyway, it's Gnep time. Make Gnep lemonade, please. It's a bumper crop of Gnep. Don't let them all go to waste. Make some Gnep lemonade. Have a great day, because Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Murray is up next.
Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.